You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? This is the Radiant Culture Podcast, and this is your host, Cookie Monster. And I'm joined by the one and only Mr. Kent.
Yeah. What's up, Cookie Monster?
What is happening?
I'm good.
Yeah. We are back again for yet another exciting episode. I feel like we haven't been. We've been on a bit of a hiatus almost.
Yeah, it's been... Life has been lifing. Including birthdays recently.
People are growing up.
Yeah.
People are growing up.
People and like so, Cookie Monster.
Yeah. We're going to get into that just now. But it is such a pleasure. To be on the show always. And I think over the last few weeks, we've been having some pretty deep conversations about life. I think it just comes with age, you know. You just start thinking more deeply about life. You just start reflecting more. As they say, sometimes age comes with wisdom.
Yep.
Yeah. But sometimes. John Maxwell once said that maturity doesn't always come with age. Sometimes age comes alone. And I remember that statement very vividly. But Mr. Kent, what's going on?
I'm good. Life has been lifing. It's been a bit of a busy period.
Yeah.
Life-wise, work-wise, family-wise.
Raking in those
my
dollars.
My kids are now in academies, so your life is...
That must be pretty hectic.
Soccer academy. My daughter's about to start a tennis academy, so yeah.
Look at these private school kids.
You know, so the schedules have been crazy, but we're back. We're back.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of an adjusting period.
It's cool. Yeah. I love that. I love your kids. They're just the best. But yeah, guys. So just so you all know, I turned 40 this year, and on the 30th of May.
Four decades.
Can you handle it's? It hasn't quite sunk in yet that I'm an old man, and maybe
you don't look anything like an old man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing. Also, I need to stop. Somebody said, "Could you behave like a teenager?" So maybe I need to start behaving my age as well. I don't know if that will happen. Maybe I need to start dressing my age. I don't know what that means, but I know none of those things are going to happen anytime soon. But one thing for sure is that I need to start having kids. But maybe soon. The right way.
Yeah.
But happy birthday to me. I'm considering changing my name, my podcast name, to something different.
It's allowed.
Yeah, you know,
with new chapter,
new season, new things. I just kind of feel like, you know, something has to change. I have not had an angel experience or anything who came and was like, your new name shall no longer be Abraham. It shall be Abraham. Or your new name is no longer Jacob. It shall be Israel.
Talking about that, I've seen a trend, and I just want to hear your opinion on this. I've seen a trend of a lot of Christian guys that go through an encounter, and you know, I don't have a problem with it or whatever, but I just want to understand where it comes from. A lot of these guys, you know, once they have an encounter, they change their name to some sort of a Hebrew name. Have you seen that?
I've seen that. I have to be careful how I respond to this, because I've got somebody who's a bit of a homie to me who went through that.
Yeah.
So
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Precisely the person I'm talking about too.
So I've got to be
That's
careful.
Why I didn't say the Hebrew.
Yeah. I don't. To be honest with you,
and it's not a bad thing. I mean, you gave quite a good explanation of it, but I just wondered. Okay, and it's not like it was because of him.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the spark.
Yeah.
Because I'd seen several other people
doing that. I've seen that as well.
And I was like, what's going on here?
I reckon, you know, I think there are some people who have names that need to be changed.
Okay.
Yeah, where somebody's name is just really horrible.
But his name was great.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about that. Like, there are people who have really horrible names.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, that need to be. I met a guy, this is several years back, we were doing a site assessment for a client, and the gardener's name was Kismo.
That's not a bad name.
No, my guy. I don't even want to imagine how that name came about. Right, so you've got those instances where I would like, bruh, if my parents had named me Kismo, trust me.
But Kismo is all right, bruh. What about just, Namo?
That's why.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, I get. So then there's some really horrible names in Shona as well.
Yeah.
Names like, no offense if this is your name, but like Namo, Shupikai.
Yeah.
And of course, because Shona names, especially, maybe African names tend to be very descriptive.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the meanings, the meanings can be...
I find it fascinating how there's always a correlation, but similarities
mm-hmm.
in African culture and Jewish culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in Jewish culture, like, they had some terrible names, great names, but some terrible names.
Ichabod,
exactly.
The glory has departed.
Exactly. Oh, that guy, what's his name? Was it the guy with the... We do a song about him, the Expand My Territory guy. What's his name?
That guy.
I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, come on, man. You know, we need to get our Bible knowledge and check. Yeah, but that guy...
His name was Pain, isn't it?
Yeah. Because he was born in pain.
Exactly.
And then his prayer was like, that you bless me and enlarge my territory and whatever. Whatever that guy's name is, please somebody find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's funny. Whereas some English names, the name's Richard.
Exactly.
Or, I don't know, just...
Exactly.
Robert.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Yeah, so there's that. So I do think that there are names that carry meanings that are quite dark.
Yeah.
That would need to be changed.
Yeah.
Then I think there's some names that are quite embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
And then also in Zim culture especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just because English, we caught onto the English bug, and then it's like every word is just considered a possible name for somebody.
Yeah.
And so there's that whole thing where I'm just like, okay, guys, come on. I know you like the word, but no.
Probably a guy called Nice to Have.
Yeah, I'm dude, anything is possible. So, but then with certain people who have really like lovely names, who still choose to take on a more biblical name, I don't know, I don't understand it, but I also appreciate the fact that maybe somebody has had... like you said, an encounter with God of some sort, and then they feel like, you know, I'm taking on this new identity because it encapsulates the direction that I'm taking and where I'm going.
Yeah.
So I get that. I'm not going to be changing my name. I love my name.
Yeah.
Kudakwa Jesus.
Yeah.
I actually like it. However, listen, if you're out there and you feel like you need to change your name, it's okay. Just don't, like, force us, please, to start calling you by your new name, because it might take us a while to adjust, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, just saying.
I have a friend which recently also changed his name, but for different reasons. But he's just gone weird. I'm not going to say his name.
Like trans?
No. Okay, not trans, but he's just gone all rogue, anti-Christian.
So. Oh. Also, he's...
He's changed his name.
Oh, flip. I think I know what you're talking about. Oh, man.
Because he had a very, like, Jewish Christian name.
Yeah.
And he's no longer for that, so guys. He changed his name because he says, your religion is...
I wish we could mention names, but we can't. But that actually brings me to another point, which is that there's this whole movement right now, this deconstruction movement that is happening, where people are, especially people of African descent, are starting to quote unquote go back to their roots.
Oh yeah, right. Like most deaf.
Yeah, you know, all of that, that whole thing, and it's starting to happen even in the church. And there's a lot of that within the Gen Z culture.
Serious?
Yeah. Where some Christians are saying, "Hey, I grew up in a Christian home, and this Christian religion was was forced on us. Mm-hmm. So this trend, it's an interesting one to me, because some of these guys are taking on the belief that Christianity was foisted on us by the colonialists, and then, you know, we adopted this religion which has got nothing to do with us, which has got nothing to do with our culture. So it's almost like this movement which is now pushing for going back to our roots. Wow. And going back to our beliefs, and then, which is why some people are now, you know, big into just questioning the Bible, questioning Christian history, and all that, and a lot of them do a pathetic job at it, but still they are starting to hold sway, especially in, you know, with the young people. So you've got several voices like Joshua Maponga and others who, in a very interesting way, because I've studied African traditional religion at an academic level. I've studied.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've kind of studied.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've studied just understanding the roots of it and the belief system behind it. Uh-huh. And so you then find that a lot of the beliefs that are there, there are a lot of common beliefs that are shared among the different African traditional religions, because there are several of them. Yeah. So we've got, if you're to sit down with these guys and actually ask them what the religion itself is based on, you'll have very different ideas, right? And what I've also found to be very interesting is that a lot of them don't really talk about what their religion stands for. They don't argue for their religion. Mm-hmm. They argue against Christianity.
Yes.
You see what I'm trying to say? So they're not presenting an argument for, this is why you should believe in African traditional religion because of 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
But it's more like, Christianity is wrong because it took away identity. Christianity is wrong because of this. And I'm like, okay, I hear your argument about why Christianity is wrong, but tell me why I should believe in your... Then part of the argument is because you're African. That's your roots. I'm like, that's not good enough. I think for myself. You can't expect me to believe in it just because. So there's that. But what's happening is that you've got a lot of, like, from an academic standpoint, one of the resources I actually want to recommend is, he's late now, but there was a professor called John Beattie.
I've heard about him.
He was Kenyan and he passed away. So he did a lot of work in that space where he basically spoke about African religion almost from an academic standpoint. And he's got a lot of valid arguments. He was a Christian. Where one of the arguments that he presented is that he says Christianity has been in Africa for long enough to actually be considered as one of the traditional African religions.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say? But brilliant guy. There's another one called Kwame Abediako.
Okay.
There's another one called, I'm forgetting some of these names. Anyway, whatever. There's several of these scholars who did a lot of research into this that are worth looking into. So I just find that these voices that are becoming prominent, that are being listened to, we've got to be careful about them. Just because somebody comes out and they've got a lot of jargon behind what they're saying doesn't mean that they've got a valid argument. But I'm seeing that some people are starting to change their Christian names into, you know, African whatever names. And I think it's a trend. It sounds cool. But if you really now start to process it deeply, you've got to think and say, okay, fine, you're saying I should become more connected to my ancestors and all of this. Okay. Yeah, but we're not going to have that talk today, because I don't think that's the purpose of our conversation. But I guess I think it's something that's worth looking into.
Yeah,
because people are jumping onto this trend, which I personally think is really sad, and we need to just engage our brains and actually think, because there's not much substance there if you think about it, and this is not to offend anyone who subscribes to that, but come on, guys.
Yeah, by the way, that name is Jabez.
Jabez!
That's
the one.
That's the guy.
Thank
who
you.
Prayed for his territory to
thank
be
you. Thank
to
you.
To be enlarged.
Hey.
And
we used to sing those songs, right?
Exactly.
Enlarge my territory.
Yeah. But yeah, interesting enough, I used to be scared of studying ATR. Mm-hmm. I used to be scared because I used to think I might be converted. But now I'm no longer, I'm like, yeah, actually, you know,
yeah.
My faith in Christ is pretty strong. And just trying to understand what it is and, you know, trying to help someone who may have questions who's coming from that or another Christian who's asking questions. So I'm actually very keen. I've been looking into it and just seeing how that is. But yeah. I see.
I can send you a couple of things that that will help this. I think there are people who've done a lot of extensive work into that. That will help. Another podcast that I want to recommend is called The Jude 3 Project.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. So that's by... She's actually a good... Well, okay, let me not say a good friend because that would be like claiming. But we have spoken. I met her through some of my apologetics courses. This African American lady, maybe it's the age catching up, guys. I'm just forgetting.
That's the age.
I'm Lisa Fields.
Okay,
I think it's Lisa Fields. It's Lisa something.
Yeah,
Jude 3 Project. But they've done a lot of work into that, and they're talking about Christianity from an African perspective, or from an African American perspective. But they've got a lot of African thinkers that they interview, that they speak to. So I think also just. The reason why people tend to get scared when it comes to that is just because it's something we've not really dived into. So now you often feel like, okay, I don't really have enough ammunition to know how to respond to these guys, which is, I think, totally understandable. But I think when you also now start to understand that, if you listen to a lot of the voices, African traditional voices, and it's the same... kind of line of argument that what they do is try their best to debunk Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to talk about everything wrong with Christianity.
Yeah.
And then that's almost like the entire basis of their argument. And I'm saying, okay, fine, I hear you, but tell me the reasons why I should believe in African traditional religion. Yeah. I've heard you, yes, you've got problems with the Bible, you've got problems with all these caricatures of Jesus and whatever, but why should I believe in African traditional religion? Give me the argument for that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to hear. Yeah. In the same way that, like, evangelize to me.
Exactly. Yes. The way Christians would evangelize.
Evangelize to me and give me the argument. Why should I?
Yeah.
But don't be telling me Christianity is wrong because it did this. I'm like,
it's like us going out there and saying, you know, Islam is bad because of this, and Hinduism is... But we go out there and preach Christ.
Yeah.
That's it.
So that already shows me that they do that because they don't have valid arguments.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think they do. Now, that's not to say that you don't have a lot of great thinkers. Even like I mentioned Joshua Maponga because he's quite popular. He's a sharp guy. Very sharp. You know. But I'm just saying, when I listen to him, I'm like, come on, dude. For someone of your caliber, I expect better.
Yeah,
you know, but sometimes you just don't get that.
Yeah.
And then also, I think another important thing to look at is we are. When I think of God and the God that Christianity presents, You realize that there's a, and I've got to be careful about how I use this word, there's a universal, I don't know what the word, but there's a universal nature to God that you don't find in any other religion. Here's what I mean. Yeah. I'm not pushing for universalism here, which is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's a, almost like this overarching element to God where the God of Christianity cuts across cultures.
Yes.
Races, belief systems, tribes, all of that. Because Christianity is ultimately not rooted in any particular tribe or culture or race. It transcends all those things.
All that,
and the funny thing is, Jesus comes as a Jewish man, and he preaches to a group of Jewish people who then go out and spread the message all across the world.
Yeah.
And then some of the people who then took Christianity were people that were not even Jews, right? Like the Europeans and others who then went and spread it all over the world.
Exactly.
Right? And of course, there is the whitewashing of Christianity. There's the westernization of it. There's the fact that they tried to use it for colonial purposes. Mm-hmm. All of that is there. But the bottom line is that when you look at the fundamental basis of Christianity, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach this gospel. Mm-hmm. But then the basic message of the gospel is that all of humanity is fallen. Mm-hmm. And needs to be redeemed.
Redeemed, yeah.
All of humanity, doesn't matter whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Indian, whether you're Chinese, whether you're Xinjiang, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone needs Jesus. Yeah. And the message is the same, that God came and he gave his son.
Yeah.
And God gave himself as a sacrifice for humanity.
Yeah.
Every other religion is local, it's focused on a particular culture or people group.
Ethnic group,
exactly. That's the word I was looking for. So if you look at Buddhism, very Asian,
exactly.
and rooted in that sort of ethnic microcosm.
Yes.
If you look at African traditional religion, it's focused on African. You see what exactly. I'm saying? And then you look at some of the practices that you see in Islam.
Yeah.
Islam, again, is very, it's from the Arab parts of the world. And of course, it then spread into other places.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that the message of it, because why I mention Islam is that they in Islam, they say that for you to truly understand the Quran, you have to read it in, what's the language in the original language? Arabic or something.
Yes, yes.
Right. So I'm saying, Kuti, but when you look at Christianity, it is not saying you have to be a Jew to be a Christian.
Exactly.
The funny thing is the people that... the ethnic grouping that Jesus came under actually don't want to be Christians.
They don't want to be Christians. They rejected it.
They rejected him.
Yeah.
You see, so there's all these elements to it that when you really think about it deeply, you see that there's something unique about it. So that's why I think that's another very important argument to look at, to say if we today were to become African traditional religion adherents, then how do we explain the fact that, okay, so we have this God that we believe in through our ancestors. How do we explain the fact that the Europeans don't have that? They don't believe in that. How? So are we saying that there are multiple gods and there's the African God.
The Asian God,
And then again, my mind starts to run wild because then I'm like, okay, so do all these gods interact?
Exactly.
And are they like, okay, listen, Uwechi, you focus on the Africans. Then I'm like Buddha. I'm like with the Asians here. You Allah, you're with the Islam owns.
Yeah.
Then my atheists, I are confused. You know, own way. You see what I'm trying to say? Are these gods like agreeing with each other?
Yeah.
Or is there like a bigger God who allocates this on the Jews? Right?
You
see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Because I think there's certain things that are common threads among human beings.
Mm.
We all have a moral code of some sort.
Mm.
We can all agree that this is right and this is wrong.
Mm.
Right? At a fundamental level.
Yes.
We have that sense of right and wrong.
Yeah.
We have a certain sense of purpose and wanting to understand what am I created for. We believe there's a significance to human life, right? We all have the question, Yaguti, where did everything that's here come from? Where did it all originate? How was the universe created? So did the African traditional religion God create it? Who created the place where all the ancestors go? Like who made that? Are all the ancestors up there, are they interacting with each other? Are they white ancestors and black ancestors? Or is it just the black people that have ancestors?
Yeah.
How does it work? Are the Chinese ancestors also that are tuning? Hey, us owns, we talk to our people, but you Chinese owns, you don't rap to your people. So I don't know, man. Maybe it's just too much comic books or whatever. But my mind starts going there.
Yeah.
Which is why when I then think about it deeply like that, I'm just like, come on, guys. There's got to be... Ultimately, if we say there are multiple gods, fine. I would still say Yahweh is the ultimate God over all those gods.
And the funny thing is, you see that even in the Bible, or even like other religions, they will talk about their God and acknowledge other gods. I've always heard, like, especially I've got a friend who used to be a Christian. Not a close friend, but she's a friend. She used to be a Christian, but now she's an ATR adherent, very strong about it, very vocal. We've actually had her on the podcast, but very vocal. And one of her arguments is that she doesn't bash Christianity. She says it's good. She says that, yeah, I experienced a lot of good things when I was still a Christian. And she says she believes that they're different gods.
Mm-hmm.
And she just felt like the Christian God is the God for the Jews. So her argument was like, I'm never going to bash Christianity because I used to believe in it. I experienced its goodness. But I came to a realization that this wasn't my God. He's a good God, but he's the God of the Jews.
The Jews.
And I had to find my God because I'm African. I'm like, oh, okay, that's your thing. And I'm like, so all these other religions acknowledge other gods. But Christianity, the Christian God says, there is no God but Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
In Christianity, there's no room for another God.
Yeah.
There is no God besides me. That's what God says.
How hectic is that? That's quite a bold.
It's very bold.
A bold claim it's to like make.
Knowing the earth, there's no other God.
Yeah. So that's, you know what? Yeah. That's such a great point.
Yeah.
That even when you look at the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus, many people want to put Jesus under the umbrella of a good moral teacher.
Yeah.
Because he taught a lot of good morals, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, he was this great, great moral teacher, great example, a great leader.
Yeah.
But when you look at all the other figures that are respected in these other religions, there have been many good moral teachers that have come about. Mm. There have been many figures, many great leaders who've come. But ultimately, what makes Jesus unique is the claims that he made.
Exactly.
Number one, very to say, bold. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
That is a crazy,
no one,
that is a
no
crazy
one comes
claim
to the Father
except through me.
Like, there's like,
do you get me? So it's like, okay, fine. Is this guy crazy?
Yeah.
Is he like a lunatic? Who says things like that?
Yeah.
Is he a liar? Because maybe he was
exactly
lying.
Yeah.
Or is he really what he's saying he is?
Yeah.
But the one thing we can't do is ignore what he said.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you look at history. If you look at, and the nice thing about history, and I think God did this intentionally, mm-hmm. that he just keeps revealing little pieces of history mm-hmm. as time progresses.
Yeah.
They keep discovering. So, you know, you've got your historians.
Yeah.
Who acknowledge the fact that during the time, whatever time period that was, there was a figure called Jesus Christ,
yes,
who was nailed to a Roman cross,
yeah.
and who made these claims, who had a great following,
yeah.
right? So, and then you've got historians like Josephus and others.
Yeah.
So you've got all these things that they and every well-known, every reputable historian who's alive today.
Yeah.
Christian and non-Christian, many of them non-Christian, but I'm talking about respected historians, yeah. have all confirmed the fact that Jesus Christ is a figure who existed.
Yes.
And the things, the claims that he made, that he died and that his followers, because many of them don't want to acknowledge that he rose again.
His followers
made the claim that he had risen.
Yeah.
Right. Those things are there in history.
Yeah.
So you, when it comes to Christ, it's either you're going to ignore the history,
mm-hmm.
you're going to try and distort it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it is there.
It is there.
The academic facts are there.
Yeah.
And anyone who says otherwise is just refusing to accept what history is saying.
Yeah.
Then I would then also dare to ask you that how much history is there for some of the people you believe existed, like Alexander the Great?
Yes.
Right. And many of these historical figures that we take for granted, because there's more evidence for Christ than there is for all these other people. But you're willing to believe that these people existed.
Wow.
You see what I'm trying to say? So it's all of this stuff that you know, when you look at the claims that Christianity makes.
Yes.
Then another one that I think is very interesting is the fact that Jesus claimed or asserted that he was going to bodily rise from the dead.
Yes.
Why is this so important? Think about this. He could have said, I'm going to spiritually rise from the dead. That's an unfalsifiable claim.
Yeah, and you can't verify.
You can't, right?
Exactly.
So it's not falsifiable. So you can't be like, it's false, but I'm going to rise from the dead.
Yeah.
Spiritually, you're not going to see me.
You're not
going to
see,
but I'll be there.
Yeah.
That dude says, I'm going to rise bodily.
Yeah.
And you're going to see me.
Yeah.
So to make a claim like that is pretty bold.
Yeah.
And so,
and I also always argue, you know, like how in the Bible it says they made a claim that his disciples stole his body and whatever. But I'm sure someone would have found his remains. Like, we're finding remains of things. Like, some pharaoh was found recently who's been dead before, like, way before Jesus. Yeah. I'm like, if they can find that pharaoh, surely somehow Jesus's remains will be.
Yeah.
But they can't.
Yeah. Surely. That's such a great point. Because if you think about it, for the kind of person, the kind of figure that he was, and the kind of chaos and commotion that he caused, all it needed was for someone to go and find those remains and be like, I found them, there they are, and they would have become the most popular person and be paid a lot of money, right? But you know, then you look, then you've got to look at the impact that he's made throughout history, how the name of Jesus, how the message that he carried,
that's a good one,
has impacted history. The dating system that we use
is centered around
it.
No matter how you change the name,
common era, but you it's you see what I'm, and so that's the sort of influence that Christianity has had. Another one, and of course, you know, this is not necessarily evidence, but the fact that the Bible remains today the most studied book.
Yeah.
There's no other book in the world that's been scrutinized the way that the Bible has. It's been ripped apart. It's been torn apart. Yeah. No other book by scholars from everywhere. I'll tell you for a fact today that Islam doesn't allow anyone to do that with the Quran.
Wow.
Yeah. They keep it very close.
Very close. You know, a good friend of mine, and we've had him on the podcast, Sean Mamwede.
Yeah.
I love the way that guy preaches. And every time he preaches, before he starts,
Sean the dancer.
Yeah, he always says that the Bible does not contradict itself.
Right.
And he stands by it. And he'll prove it to you. And he'll take tricky scriptures that seem contradictory. And then he will take other scriptures and give you the fuller picture. And you'll see that the Bible doesn't ever contradict itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
It's so crazy. It was written by man. At some point, that person will, because we've got so many errors. But you can tell this thing is God breathed.
Yeah. And how many? You know how? Here's what's, and I love your point, because do you know how much throughout history? And I just wish, you know, I'm a bit of a history buff, because you know, you start to realize so much about history when you begin to dig deeper.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times they've tried to eliminate the Bible? What's his face? I keep forgetting names. Who said that in 100 years the Bible will be a Voltaire?
Yes,
the Bible will be a forgotten book.
Yeah,
right. He said that.
Yeah.
There's so many scholars throughout history who are like the Bible, and then they've burnt Bibles. They've tried to eliminate. An interesting story is that during the I think it was the 15th or 16th century, the era of what's known as the Enlightenment, where people started to question, Christianity as the dominant worldview. Yeah. And then they started to say people need to think for themselves. And there's a lot that had happened because of the Roman Catholic Church, blah, 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 blah. Mm. But they started to question the claims made by the Bible, and that brought the era known as the Enlightenment, and many philosophers.
Yes.
So a lot of German scholars started to just challenge what the Bible said, saying that this is all false, this is all fake. Then, in a very interesting turn of events, there's a small fragment of a manuscript that was discovered accidentally by a scribe or something somewhere who discovered a small fragment of a manuscript which is based, I think, on, should be John 8.
Mm-hmm.
They named it P52, right? This is, so there's a discipline called textual criticism. Textual criticism is a discipline where they study ancient texts, right? Old manuscripts. So biblical textual criticism is where they're looking at biblical manuscripts, and there's thousands and thousands of them. This particular fragment was dated back to, I think, the first century.
Yeah.
Right? Which, in essence, debunked all that German scholarship years and years of German scholarship. Yeah. Because the basis of their scholarship was that the Bible, all their claims were that there's no evidence that the manuscripts and all the information that is written about the Bible existed before a certain time.
Yeah.
And then this thing shows up.
Shows up.
Right. And the nice thing about scholarship is that you can study.
Yeah.
You can study and get the empirical evidence. So it exists. And so basically what that did is that it changed the whole trajectory of biblical scholarship.
Yeah.
Right. What's interesting about that, why that is significant, is it also goes to show you, this is for the people who say, the Bible has been written and it's been amended and it's been... If you're finding something that is that old, that is that close to the original timeline. So they actually claim that manuscript was probably written when some of the eyewitnesses were still alive.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So if you're seeing something that is that accurate, so you've got to ask yourself to say, how much more of the rest of the text is accurate. Then another thing you also need to ask yourself is, how many other books, how many other ancient texts in existence have a manuscript tradition that is that old?
That is that.
And yeah. I can tell you that there are none. Yeah. So for that, you can study for yourself. You can go study textual criticism. Go look up a guy called Daniel Wallace. That's like his whole, right? He's done a lot of scholarship on that. So I say this is fascinating. Then a whole other angle is the Ethiopian church.
Church, yes.
So you have the scripture, I think it's in Acts chapter 7 or 8, where there's that encounter that, I think it's Philip who has that encounter with the eunuch.
With the eunuch, yeah.
Who then goes back to Ethiopia, or what was Ethiopia then, and carries the gospel there. So there's a whole Christian tradition that was given birth via the Ethiopian Coptic church.
Yeah.
That started a whole movement. So if you go to Ethiopia today, they've got their own Bible, which is written in their original language that they've preserved. But I'm saying, so that then spread into areas of Nubia and what all these areas of Africa. So the gospel became very dominant in Africa. Early back in long before the Atlantic slave trade happened. Because that happened much later. So if you to then claim that Christianity came through the slave trade, it's like, okay, fine, yes, it's a point, but you also don't really understand the history behind it. So I'm saying that if this is how powerful the gospel was, that it changed people, it changed black people, it changed societies, right? Just through the message of the disciples. If that's how much of an impact it had, why should we then think that it's something that was just brought by some white person who had agendas? Now, that's not to say that there were no colonizers or people who came with agendas. But they did that because they had seen that this thing is powerful.
It works. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, they used it for other purposes, right? But that does not invalidate
Christianity.
Yeah. It's just like, and I feel like I'm talking a lot, but...
You're making a lot of sense.
If I take a car, right? Yeah. If I take a car, forgive the graphic imagery, but if I take a car and I was talking to a friend of mine last week who lives in the UK, and she was saying that they'd gone to a concert and then somebody just drove a car into a crowd and injured people. Yes, and you know those things have happened in different parts of the world, in America and other places. You know, all those crazy people who do things like that. So, do we then say cars are bad?
No.
Because they drive into people. you see what I'm trying to say? But somebody took something and abused it.
Uh-huh.
But something that...
It reminds me of...
Yeah.
Sorry. It reminds me... You heard about the pit bull story.
What, the pit bull that mauled...
The killed the guy
in this
area. Actually. Yeah, so on our groups, there's been a lot of conversations and people talking about those that species of dog should be eradicated, should be banned.
Uh-huh.
So this lady, a white lady, obviously, and she understands dogs obviously. And stuff. She defended, and I felt...
I guess want to boldly state that we're not a racist podcast, okay?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, acknowledging that white people understand some of these things better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
She then gave a very, which I was impressed, a very detailed sort of like explanation of dogs and the different species and breeds and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And she was basically saying no dog is born or is inherently bad.
Okay.
A dog is as a result of its owner.
Okay.
If the owner does not train a dog, what's right, what's wrong, just like a baby or whatever. No one is born a thief or a murderer or whatever.
Right.
It's the environment the person grows up that molds that.
Right.
And creates that version of a person. And she was basically saying the same thing to the dog. So she was saying not every pit bull, pit bulls as a breed are not. She was actually saying, on the contrary, it's been studied that they're the most well-behaved.
Okay.
They're very good with children. They're very obedient when they are trained.
Okay.
But the problem is because of their build and their nature, if they're untrained, they are the most dangerous.
Okay.
So that was probably an untrained pit bull.
Okay.
Yeah. So where I'm going with it is that it's the same thing where you're saying just because a car drove into people, we're now saying cars are bad.
Yeah.
We can't say cars are bad. We can't say pit bulls are bad.
Yeah.
Just because a certain Christian did this doesn't mean Christians are like this or Christianity is false and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Was that Christian obeying the law or being obedient to Christ and his teachings?
Yeah.
And the doctrine of Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Yeah. I still believe that pit bulls are demonic, but
wow.
Most things are demons. But if you exercise it and lay hands on it,
you could redeem it.
No, okay, listen, I'm not a dog person. I know nothing about dogs.
Yeah.
But that actually could be a very valid point. The spiritual world is a very complex and diverse world, right? And just because somebody has, just because somebody has an encounter and an experience, a spiritual experience, doesn't necessarily mean that that experience or that encounter becomes the truth.
Yeah.
Because there are many people who've had encounters.
Yeah.
A religion like Islam is founded on an experience. That somebody had on a mountain.
Yeah.
And they came back down and said, this is what I've been told, blah, blah, blah. And that's how the religion was founded.
Yeah.
There are many other, even cults, that have started like that, where somebody will say, I had an encounter with an angel, and the angel said I should do 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they formed this whole movement, and now, you know, they've got their own thing going. So all those things have happened, and people have been, and they've gained followers and stuff. But I think there's, like I'm saying, there's got to be a way that we measure the veracity of something or the truth of something that has some sort of an objective methodology to it.
Yeah.
So the more subjective something is, the trickier it is.
It is.
The more centered around a particular person, individual something is, the trickier it is. And somebody can then say, but Ingawan Jesus centered everything around himself. But I think this is actually the significance that Jesus claimed to be the way.
Yes.
But the way to the Father.
Yes.
Right?
No one else has made that claim.
You see what I'm trying to say? So Jesus, even though he is God, and even in Christianity we believe he is God, he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
But he still allowed for there to be enough room to study and to verify the things that he was saying. He didn't just say, I'm the Son of God, so believe what I'm saying just because I said it. No, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, right? I'm going to have these disciples. I'm going to go into all the world. Mm. I'm going to be with you. Mm. Then the signs and whatever, all these things will follow. And then he gave us a book.
Exactly.
Right? So then on top of that, he's not just popping up from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's tradition behind what he's saying. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he is quoting the prophets. He's quoting Moses. Mm. He's quoting Deuteronomy. In fact, in his temptation, he's quoting all the scriptures quotes are from Deuteronomy 6 to 8.
Yes.
Right? All those responses. He's confirming the things that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And he comes and says, I am the fulfillment of those things.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that there's pedigree, there's historical tradition that can be studied.
Yeah.
To say, this guy, prophecies were said about him, and there he is. You can verify. But if I go to the mountain today and say I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, which is what also we find in some of our churches today, where someone is saying, I went to the mountain, God spoke to me. There's no way of me saying, Pastor, how do we know that that was God?
Yeah.
Because now we're all too scared. And I think that is problematic. And the point to that is that whether it's in a church or whatever religious setting, if somebody is saying something that cannot be falsified, and by falsified, I just mean that it can, that there's no way of proving whether it's true or false.
True or false, yeah.
Because it's rooted in a subjective experience that somebody had.
Yeah.
That thing is problematic.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit spoke to me.
Hey, yeah, that one's a gay.
God said, killer. You are my wife.
It's an argument killer.
God said, you are my husband. Okay.
Yeah, 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 like you can't. You can't,
so, yeah. How do I? God said you should give this much money.
I wasn't
in
there,
the offering.
I can't verify.
Yeah. And that's how people get manipulated.
Exactly.
You know? But the point I wanted to say before I forget.
Carry on, then I'll.
Yeah. Is that the car analogy that I was using was to say that so you cannot judge a system by its abuse.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You've got to be careful that you don't judge something by its abuse. Just because something has been abused doesn't mean that that becomes the basis on which we judge it. We have to look deeper and say, okay, what did Jesus teach? Jesus taught that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, whatever, right? Jesus said, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. He gives parables, like the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he says, your neighbor is the person that you think is your enemy. Your neighbor is the person that you disagree with, but love that neighbor.
Yeah.
So if I then come and I colonize a whole people group in the name of Christianity, then I'm not representing.
Nah.
What Christianity is about. Yes. And so this is where I'm saying, I think we're being a bit simplistic and we're not thinking properly when we say Christianity is false because it brought slavery into Africa. Then I'm saying, but Jesus never said into all the world and dominate people and take away their rights, go into all the world and abuse women. Yeah. He did not say that.
He didn't say that,
And if anything, Jesus, during his time, gave dignity to women in a society that that did not honor women.
Yeah.
Jesus gave dignity to prostitutes and to thieves. And so
tax
I'm saying,
Zimra people,
right?
People.
So I'm saying, if that's the message that he taught, then somebody takes that and they convolute it in their own way. And then we take that. That's a caricature of the message, a false representation of it. But we're building our whole argument against Christianity on a caricature.
Makes no sense.
But that also goes to show that we've bought into the narrative. And it's the spirit of the age, if I can call it that. Yeah. We've bought into the belief system that's being pushed. And we're refusing to use our brains.
Yeah.
We're being dumbed down. I'm not saying we're not smart people. But I've also seen that I've spoken to some really smart people, professors, that have some of the dumbest arguments.
Yes.
And I'm saying, bro, you're like 10 times smarter than me.
Yes.
But you're being stupid.
Yes.
You're like, you're not thinking. I can't believe that something this daft is coming out of your mouth. Yeah. You've not thought through this. So that also means that just because something is coming from a well-respected person who's very articulate doesn't mean that they're talking sense. You must still take a step back and think for yourself. Let me stop there before I start going on a rant.
Just a side note for any brother or sister who say the Lord says, it's good for you to verify, like Joseph in the Bible verified, because his girlfriend came up with a very interesting story that, you know, I'm pregnant. Oh. And the Lord made me pregnant. The guy's like, right.
No,
the Lord did what?
Imagine.
And an angel had to come and confirm.
Imagine.
But imagine. Just a side note.
Imagine being Joseph.
It's if you look at that story, it's just like, crazy.
I like what you're saying, man. if you're claiming that the Lord said something, just also allow me to have my own angel experience that confirms that the Lord actually said it.
That's confirmed.
Because what's so special about you that the Lord just speaks to you?
And now I need to believe it.
Yeah, and now I need to believe it. for something that concerns my own life.
Yeah.
And the Lord spent all good in this voining.
Yeah. I like the whole thing where, you know, they were having arguments about, you know, should Gentiles, Christians be circumcised and whatever. And I like the way that James says, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. It's like everyone agreed. It's like they had the same confirmation mm-hmm. about these things. It wasn't just James saying, okay, the Holy Spirit has just spoken and now I declare that. No, no, no. It seemed good to all of them.
That's such a good point.
They all witnessed and said, yeah, the Spirit is saying the same thing. The Spirit is saying the same thing.
That is such a good point. I think what is dangerous about the times that we're living in is that we have so much access to information that we have too much that we're trying to process.
Yeah.
And we get lost in there. And so, you know, you can listen to a podcast or you can watch a video by some scholar who's done a lot of work on why the resurrection is true.
It's true.
You know, somebody like Gary Habermas and all these guys. And then shortly after that, there's some video of some atheist who's talking something totally different and hasn't even really thought through his stuff, but he's just, because he's putting it so well, you put these things on the same plane, or someone is talking about something else, but there's so much access to so much information that now the challenge we have is trying to filter, and trying to think through all these things to find out what is true and what is not. And I think that we need to be careful. Why we need to be careful is that ultimately, I think there's a reason why Jesus came at the time that he did in history.
Yeah.
Before the era of all these digital things.
Mm.
And we're given the Bible, the book, so that we could read that book and understand the arguments therein. That's not to say that the Bible is an easy book to understand, because I think that's not the mistake that we make. Just because something is true doesn't mean it has to be easy to understand. In fact, I think if God is the sort of God that he is, if he's as big and as complex as he is, he's not going to be easy to grasp.
Yeah,
you know, and I think there are going to be a lot of things that we only know when we get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that we're not going to have answers for. But just because we can't know God comprehensively doesn't mean we can't know God meaningfully.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of meaningful things that we can put together and say, no, this makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a designer who designed everything that we see, all the reality that we see in the world, all the fine tuning in the earth and the world today. There's got to be somebody who put all of this together. There's a mind that put all of this together.
Yeah.
And there's a spiritual world that is out there. There's ways that we can look at ourselves. Then I think the biggest thing we've got to be able to look at is the sin in our own hearts, the evil in our own hearts.
Yeah.
In every human heart, we have it. Our tendency and our proclivity to do evil and so we see all of these things, and it's a universal thing that's there.
Mm.
But then God says he's come to deal with that. Again, there's no other religion in the world where the purpose of God coming to earth is to deal with the evil in your heart so that he can set you free from that. So I would say that it's important for the listener to think about, you know, some of the things we've been talking about and to not be easily swayed by, because there's so many arguments, guys, there's so many different, and it's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we need to be rooted. That's why I think Jesus says in the last days, people are going to be easy to deceive because you just need to listen to the wrong voice, and next thing you know, you're following some other thing. So I think we need to become students of the Word. If you're a Christian, become a student of the Word, become a student of the Bible, understand what it says. It's okay to have doubts.
Mm-hmm.
We all have doubts. I still have things in the Bible that I'm like, I struggle with this.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's some things are obvious on the surface. Some things take time. Some things require more scholarship. Some, you know, it's different things, but it's a journey.
It's a journey.
And but ultimately, I think let's look at the character of God. Let's not just listen to people who have their rants online. Let's actually study the character of the God of the Bible. Let's study the words of Jesus. Let's study the setting that he was in. Let's study the claims that he made, the message that he carried. Then let's look at how that message impacted the people that he was with, the disciples who were with him, how they then went on and gave their own lives for this message.
That alone, to me, it's like those 12.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for them to make up that stuff and risk the way they risk their lives.
It doesn't.
They must have been so convinced to put their life in danger like that to spread the gospel.
Yeah. How do you give your life like that for something that you're making up? Like, you've got to be messed up.
Really messed up.
But how do all 12 of you get messed up like that?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So those are some of the arguments that I think are valid. And then ultimately, where we don't understand the great thing about God in his grace and in his mercy is that you can pray and say, Lord, help me understand this. There are stories today of multiple thousands and thousands of Muslims that are seeing Jesus in their dreams, that are praying and saying, you know, Lord, help me to know you. And they're giving their lives and they're getting born again in their hundreds. Wow. Right. And some of them are in these very traditional Muslim countries where you can't even talk about Jesus. You can't sever your ties with your family and your faith. But God is doing something through that. The last book that I want to, or scholar, whatever, that I want to recommend is a guy called Michael Heiser. Michael Heiser passed away. I think he passed away about 2 years ago. But he did a lot of work on the Old Testament and on the history of the Old Testament and the typical worldview that a person in the Old Testament would have. Interesting stuff that he shared about the spiritual world and the spiritual dynamic.
Yeah.
Of which also I think helps us to understand how a lot of these religions came to be.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of stuff that he says there about the fallen angels and how some of them went on to actually form some of the religions that people follow today.
Yeah.
Right? That they're lesser gods that formed all these religions in these different territories.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say, some of us... Yeah, I hope I don't get stoned for this. But some of us who are thinking that we're talking to our ancestors.
You're talking to us.
You don't know who you're rapping to, my guy. Okay. Right? So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But listen, this is not to disrespect anybody. This is not we're all on a journey. We all believe different things. And I'm just saying that let's not be too quick to bash the Bible and the claims that it makes. Let's think. Let's study. Let's apply the same scrutiny that we do to the Bible to our own belief systems and see if they stand up to our own scrutiny, you know, which is not an easy thing to do. But I think it's important for us to do that so that we really know that what we're believing in is true. Yeah. But ultimately, I would say that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that the claims that he made were true, that he did come to earth, he gave his life, he died on a cross, and he rose again from the dead, and that he is seated at the right hand of God, and that he is worth believing in, that he's here to set you free from your pain, from your sin, from this world.
Yeah.
And that he will walk with you, that he will give you his grace, and that ultimately he wants to make all of us new creatures that know him. And he'll walk with us on this journey. He'll help to answer the questions we don't understand. But there's true freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
Those are the last words I'm going to say.
And the great thing about Christianity and Jesus is that Jesus asked people to challenge him.
Yes.
He challenged his claims.
So good.
You know.
Yeah.
He would say things like, if you do not believe what I say, then believe by the works that I do. Provided evidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you don't do that if you're trying to deceive bones,
you're trying to deceive people. You know what I mean? And yeah. And in many places in the Bible, God, you know, challenges the Jews, the Israelites, that test me in certain things.
Yeah. You know,
and see if it's not true. So yeah. Jesus is there to be examined.
Yeah.
And yeah. Try and see.
Try and see.
Yeah.
The Bible says, taste and see.
Taste and see.
That the Lord is good.
Good.
Yeah. Amen.
Cool. Thanks, Kuda.
Awesome.
This wasn't supposed to be the topic, but...
But here we are.
This is the topic that God wanted us to talk about.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Just a 40-year-old guy talking. With another soon-to-be 40-year-old guy.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, this has been good. This has been real. Thank you all for listening. This is the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, any comments, feel free to send them through. And Cool, guys. We love you. God bless.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.